Greetings, it's Terry at Cottage in the Court. Happy February. I hope everyone is doing okay out there between the snow, the sleet, the rain, the no-show-up snow, and everything in between. We've had quite an exciting weather-related new year so far. I can't wait to see what February will gift us with. You know, Seed Swap Saturday in some places was postponed until later in February, and in other places it was virtual or safely distanced. I look at it like this. This just gives us more time to sort through our seeds and donate them where necessary, share them with our friends, and more. So it's not a total wash. Stay tuned in February for seed swap events that were delayed from January to a more appropriate time. It's also that time of year where we start thinking about events that we would like to attend as they relate to gardening. Are they going to be hybrids? Are they going to be in real life? Are they going to be strictly virtual? A lot to consider in these uncertain times. But let me tell you one thing, I know I'll be in Lynchburg this spring. I had a chat with my friend Abra Lee, and we've been cooking up something with a couple of other friends over the winter, and we'd like to share it with you. It's all about garden clubs, Ethel Early Clark, and a celebration. How are you doing, Abra?
I am fabulous, Terry. I feel like this year has gotten off to a very positive start. So that's all I can ask for. And I'm speaking with you. That always makes my day. You know that.
Well, you know, it makes my day when I call you and go, Abra, you know what? But we know each other. Tell people who you are and what you're in the middle of doing right now.
My name is Abra Lee, and currently I am teaching a course at Auburn University. The course is titled Working with the Hands. It is a direct, I guess you would say play on the name is the best way to say it, of the second autobiography of Booker T. Washington called Working with the Hands. And it is a course on, to summarize, Black garden history in America. And the reason I use that course title is because I am teaching this course to the grad landscape architecture students at Auburn through the lens of the dynamic between W.E.B. Du Bois, the Black intellectual born into freedom, Harvard graduate, civil rights icon, to the life of Booker T. Washington, a Black man born into slavery, who isn't the, let's say, the intellect that W.B. Du Bois is. He isn't so focused on liberal arts education as Du Bois is. He's focused on industrial education. And so what is really, really interesting is that when you study Black garden history in America, and I know that you do as well, Terry, through your independent research, as an independent researcher as I am, you see so many of the icons of Black garden history cross paths with these men at one time or another, or they fall into one camp or the other. They're the conservative, industrial, hardworking side, like Booker T. Washington, or they're the Black intellectual, liberal arts side to nature, like W.B. Du Bois. So it has been really fun. We started the first class speaking about the life and legacy of W.B. Du Bois, and one of the writers for his Crisis magazine, a woman named Effie Lee Newsom, who the class will be doing a garden centered around her work for the upcoming PHS, Pennsylvania Horticulture Society Flower Show. And Effie Lee Newsom is a Harlem Renaissance writer and poet who focused on children's nature writing. So that's what I've been doing.
But that's wonderful, because we both know we cannot exclude the truth from our children, and the children are going to carry it forward. So it's our job to unearth these things that we just really haven't been taught in school.
Right. And I think the biggest thing when we think about what we've been taught in school is what I think you and I both talk about when we are offline in our little private group chat and having our own talks, is that what we see now in this era, the post Black Lives, or not even post, we're still in the era of Black Lives Matter. We're still in the era where the Voting Rights Act and democracy is threatened in America. And what I see coming out of that, especially with a lot of cultural institutions in our world, the public garden world, are a lot of feel good Black garden stories. And they aren't realizing the nuance. Those are the things that you and I understand as Black women who live this, who are in real time in the world of horticulture. They're not understanding that these Black people that came before us, our ancestors, it wasn't just feel good for them. They didn't have an option to opt out of the civil rights movement while they were doing their horticulture work. It goes hand in hand. Right. And the point that I'm making is that Black history is not separated at all from Black garden history. So those things are together. And I think that that's the biggest thing that is left out of the history that we're taught when we speak about the history of horticulture in America.
And we met at a conference of writers of horticulture, we shall say. And when we met, there was a little bit of a disturbance in the room. You remember that?
I do. Look, Terry, I was so happy to see you. We were in Chicago at the Garden Writers Con. Well, what is it called now?
Now it's Garden Con. Yeah.
Okay. And we were just doing the normal beloved Black girl. Just how you doing, sis? I'm so happy to see you. Loud, happy.
Hands flailing.
Exactly. And people really thought we were having a moment and not a positive one. They thought it was some type of disturbance. And it was just so goofy. Yeah. Just so goofy.
Yeah.
But we were being our real full selves. And yeah. I loved it. And I didn't care. And that's how we met. Just just genuine love.
When I think back on it, I was just in shock, because it was like, huh? This is how we greet each other. This is what we do. This is how we talk. This is how we are. We are very emotional people. And how could that be perceived any differently? But that brings me to now with the African-American garden clubs. What happened to them? Where are they? You know, were they made to feel less than? You know, what happened? Where are they? And I know that there are some that still exist, you know, but who knew? Who's telling that story? Where are they? You know, I'm trying to bring one to the forefront. We know of another one, but let's talk about Aunt Ethel, shall we say.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Our beloved Ethel Early Clark, the queen, Lorena, the queen of garden club movement in the United States, as far as we're concerned. So yes, let's talk about her, Terry. That is why we're here. And you said, who's telling our story? We are, Terry.
Yes, we are.
Black women are telling the story of Black women, and it's a beautiful thing. So Ethel Early Clark, to just recap your listeners or introduce them to her life and legacy, this is one of the four founders of what was then called the Negro Garden Clubs of Virginia. And on April 21st and 22nd, they met at Hampton University to form this group, officially federate this group. Mm-hmm. So that means that all the garden clubs, it's not that Black garden clubs didn't exist in Virginia before then, it's that they weren't in this organized state format, okay? And I'm gonna just bring up Sean Spencer Hester's name here, because when we talk about iconic horticultural history in America, we have to bring up Sean. But
yeah.
She is beloved to both of us, and
yes.
will speak more to that history and how it relates to her own personal life and legacy. Mm-hmm. But at Hampton, on April 22nd, 1932, four people organized these garden clubs, which were Dr. William Cooper, who was the head of extension at Hampton Institute. It was called Hampton Institute, Hampton University now at the time. Purvis J. Chesson, another educator whose own wife, Florence Chesson, was a very prominent member of the Black Garden Clubs. And then also Mr. Asa Sims, somebody who is so near and dear to my heart, mm-hmm. your heart as well, mm-hmm. Who was the state advisor for the Black Garden Clubs in Virginia and in North Carolina. He was a landscape professor, a floriculture professor, a greenhouse manager at Hampton. I mean, completely devoted his life to public horticulture, completely. Yeah. And the only woman at the table, Ethel Early Clark, who is a native of Roanoke and a cafeteria manager, civil rights activist, community organizer, and the queen bee, the woman at the table who helped found this garden club movement. It started with seven clubs on April 22nd, 1932. And 10 years later, their 10th anniversary, which was hosted at Asa Sims Estate in Hampton, his 2-acre estate where he had his florist business, his nursery was there. It was up to 65 clubs by then. And those clubs ended up being thousands mm-hmm. of clubs across Virginia, Ohio, Georgia, North Carolina, Alabama, Texas, California. We hit all the states up because Black girls are just fly like that. And that's what we do with our plants. So.
And his credentials were mm-hmm. amazing. And that's an understatement to say the least.
Truly.
And when you think, or when you see pictures of Ethel Early Clark, she wasn't playing. She represented well.
She did. The women in that whole movement represented well. And it wasn't just frilly. I think that there's two things here. There is an element of, for lack of better words, escapism, just the joy and beauty of nature, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And we get to beautify things, and we get to have our own flower shows, and we get to have our own Yard of the Month contest, and mm-hmm. we get to have our own educational seminars and our own yearly conferences, let yeah. alone monthly meetings. So that's pure joy. But the reality is also, this is during the Jim Crow era in America. This mm-hmm. predates the civil rights movement. This, you and I talked about this offline, but I think it's appropriate to bring it up now. When we look at Black organizations who were as organized and as big as this group were, you're talking about the National Association of Colored Women, founded mm-hmm. by Ida B. Wells, Mary Church Terrell. Honestly, the first organization that's a Black civil rights organization is founded by Black women is that organization. Then you've got the NAACP mm-hmm. With W.B. Du Bois as one of the founders, the UNIA, the Universal Negro Improvement Association, Marcus Garvey, mm-hmm. and you got the Black Church, right?
Yep. Yep.
So outside of those four, 1932, the garden clubs in Virginia are some of the most big and powerful and organized when it comes to Black America at that time. And that's something that I don't think that we talk about enough. I don't think enough people know, but right. just look at their power. You know, this predates SNCC, the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee. This predates the SCLC, the work they're doing, because they weren't just doing horticultural work. And that's right. why I talk about that balance between joy and just honestly America telling America, you got to do better, America, you got to do right by us, which is something that Black women have always held this country to. And they're doing it through the lens of beauty and horticulture, which yeah. is honestly, you know, you get to choose the way you want to join the revolution. And the way they chose is the way you and I would have chosen, Terry, and the way that we choose today. So
through beauty and yes. beautifying our communities. One thing that I find just over, it just brings me such joy is the use of African-American women by the extension mm-hmm. to teach people how to can, how to grow, how to garden, yeah. how to clean. So we weren't playing. They knew we knew something. And for they sure. knew we had something to teach and to share.
Floral arrangement, floriculture.
That's right, floriculture.
It's taught by them.
Wow. And the things that we shared, the arrangements that we made, the beauty that we demanded, basically, when we had our teas after church, at funerals, definitely at weddings, everywhere.
Everywhere.
That floral mindset was key.
It was. It was. And, we got to flex on your audience a little bit because you and I were in the New York Times together in an article back in what, October. But I bring this up because of another queen of horticulture, Bessie Weaver, the first Black florist west of the Mississippi. And this is relevant because in a speech that she gave at the National Negro League Conference in the early 1900s, Booker T. Washington's in the audience, she states point blank that Black people have always been lovers of music and flowers. And I say that because even in 1900, this Black woman is saying, look, we have always been in the floral game. And she's speaking to Black women about how this beauty, just entering this field where you're creating your own art, where you're doing your own designs, where you are bringing joy and bringing respect into moments, right? Even when there's death, there's flowers. It's just been so integral. And these garden clubs, these flowers, these Black women, their organization, it just goes all hand in hand. And it's never been separated. And I love how we're seeing the modern day renaissance today, especially with the work which you're doing with your upcoming book, Black Flora. And we see that. So it's not that we've ever left it. I think that there's been times where we weren't as together as we are now for multiple reasons, but we're together, we're focused. This is a brand new culture shift all over again. And what they say, we ready. We ready, Terry. We in here. We telling our story and it feels so good.
A phrase that has been on my mind, well, two of them actually. One of them is, when the season is right, the harvest is ready.
Mm-hmm.
And we're ready.
Where's your t-shirt that says that? It's fate.
It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. But I'll tell you another book that I'm in the middle of reading. And every time I look at the title, it really, you know, because I'm a tearful person. I love my crying, but Amanda Gorman, her book, mm-hmm. Call Us What We Carry. And I firmly believe the season has come for us to bloom.
Yeah. Yeah.
I really do.
For sure.
So tell us about Ethel Day.
We have a group, myself, yourself, Gina Hammond of the Pennsylvania Horticulture Society, the legendary Sean Spencer Hester, who we've mentioned, the CEO and curator of the Ann and Edward Spencer Garden Museum, Wamboy Ippolito, who is the first Black woman to win the PHS show,
yep.
And the first person of color to win that show. That for this will be the 169th year of that show, so I want people to know how big of a deal her win was last year.
Yeah,
and Judge Lillian Ransom, who is a legacy of the Black Garden Clubs. This is a state judge in Pennsylvania who is on the board of the Pennsylvania Horticulture Society and also a member of the Our Garden Club of Philadelphia and Vicinity, which is called the OGCPV for short. If you can believe that, ain't even short, but that's a OGCPV, remember that. And her club was founded in 1939 by a Black woman named Harriet Wright Hines. And it is believed to be the oldest consecutive meeting garden club. So since 1939, these women haven't missed a meeting. There in Philadelphia, the significance of Judge Ransom being on our celebration committee of Ethel Day is that her own grandmother, Lillian Jones, I believe is her name, but she'll speak more to her on Ethel Day, was the president of what was called the Community Garden Club in Portsmouth, Virginia. So she's a direct legacy of these women. And so I mentioned at the beginning of your podcast episode that Ethel Early Clark was one of the four founders of the Negro Garden Club of Virginia on April 22nd, 1932. Well, April 22nd, 2022 is the 90th anniversary of the founding of these clubs. And so our group got together and thought it is the time and the hour to acknowledge these women and to celebrate what they did 90 years ago, because if it weren't for what they did, we certainly wouldn't be where we are today. With our own careers in horticulture. And let me just say this one more thing. April 22nd is also National Earth Day. Now, these garden club women, theirs was founded April 22nd, 1932. Earth Day was April 22nd, 1972. You do the math. We were there first. So Ethel Day and Earth Day just gonna have to be shared from here to eternity. And it's just like two people sharing a birthday on the same day. Yep. So it ain't a us versus them, it's what it is.
Yeah.
But if we gonna ask who was first, the Black women were first. Thank you very much. Okay, just make sure you don't edit that part out, okay? Okay, so with Ethel Day, we are celebrating their legacy, 90 years. Can you imagine 90 years since seven clubs were organized? Thousands happened over the years. For many reasons, the clubs fall apart. There is redlining. There mm-hmm. is the rise of the Black middle class, right?
Yep.
The Civil Rights Act passed. We can move into different neighborhoods. It's a lot of things. Highways are built through some of these communities mm-hmm. and those communities are destroyed. So to just say that why they fell apart, they're so, again, we've already talked about, you can't separate American history and Black history from the Garden history. So there are multiple reasons so many of these clubs don't exist anymore. However, we know for a fact that clubs still exist. There are historic Black garden clubs in Atlanta. There are still historic Black garden clubs in Virginia, in other places, South Carolina for sure. Mm-hmm. So what you're seeing now is a renaissance of women saying, we want our own spaces too. You don't just have to be in one garden club.
Nope.
You can be in 10 garden clubs. And if you are a Black woman and want to be in a Black garden club, so you're fellowshipping and learning around your people and get to be your free, beautiful Black self, then do it. Right. It's okay.
Right.
And we want you here and we want you there. So that's why we're celebrating these women. Our celebration will be on April 21st, 2022, which is a Thursday, because we know mm-hmm. a lot goes on Fridays. It's not Amen. Because of Earth Day. It's just because Thursday is the day that we chose. Mm-hmm. And we'll celebrate it through a virtual symposium. Mm-hmm. That we'll have registration for starting February 15th. It'll be hosted online by Morris Arboretum and Chanticleer Gardens out of Pennsylvania. So
let's say thank you to both of them now.
Shout out to Morris Arboretum.
Yes.
Brian Thompson Nowak, who is the director of horticulture there, I believe, or maybe education. But Brian, thank you. And Aaron Doherty, Bill Thomas at Chanticleer.
Yes.
Eric Sue at Chanticleer. Thank y'all so much.
Yes, it means
for
a lot.
Up and coming through. It does. Yeah. It does. So it's going to be a real treat. And then, of course, I'll see you in person and make my first trip to the Ann Spencer Garden Museum, which, Tara, you might have to pick me up off the grass over there. I might fall out. I just don't even know how I'm going to feel. I'm so excited. I've never been.
When I first saw Eden Crawl in last year, in 2021, I just fell to pieces. I cried because it was like, wow, this is so meaningful.
Yeah.
So meaningful. And it was a small group through the invitation of the Garden Conservancy, but it was so meaningful. I would not have missed that day for nothing. Mask on, totally away from the crowd, but it was such a beautiful moment. And the garden, to see a garden that had remnants of Ann Spencer's husband, that Ann Spencer sat in there and wrote. Oh my goodness. Overwhelmingly a wonderful experience and something that I will cherish for the rest of my life. But we'll be there.
We will be there.
Yeah.
And garden. Ann Spencer, her connection back to how we started. I was talking about my class at Auburn and W.B. Du Bois and Booker T. Washington and how we can't separate them from Black garden history, and her relationship, her connection to Dr. Du Bois.
Yes.
And I dropped that gem on my class, my first class, a few days ago, and they didn't know nothing about it. And I can't wait to get into it with them, because their antennas are up. These young people are with it, Terry. They want to learn. They want to know it. They want to incorporate it into their future landscape architecture design. So we do have reasons to be optimistic about the future, because there are people that care. There really are.
And we should be excited, because what the next generation learns from us, they will explore deeper and garden however they deem necessary. That's important. We don't know who we're going to inspire to have a career in horticulture, floristry, arboriculture, or anything else. They could become scientists, researchers. We don't know, but it's such an open field, and we are merely sowing the seeds. That's all.
Amen to that. That's it.
Yeah, that's what we're doing. So as Amanda says, call us what we carry. We are carrying flowers into the future.
We are.
So what else are you doing? Because you're also writing a book.
I am. I know y'all so tired about hearing about this book and as tired as you are as hearing about it. I feel that tired writing it. And writing has, it's been a slow process for me. Transparency to your audience. I am also a full-time caregiver to my mama. You want to know how I know about this Black Garden history and Ethel Early Clark and Bessie Weaver and W.B. Du Bois and Booker T. Washington? My mama taught me that. And she is the one who spent her life as a educator in high school. And she is a historian. That's what her 4 degrees were in when she went to college, Payne College, Atlanta University, Clark College, which is now Clark Atlanta University at the time. And she was the one that put me onto this game. However, she is in her more advanced years. I'm her full-time caregiver. And so that is my biggest priority, is to take care of her. So I do my writing around taking care of her, which is everything to me, because I wouldn't know any of this without her. And a fun fact, she was just teaching me this stuff around 2008, Terry, just on my own when we didn't know each other, right? And the social media wasn't quite a big thing yet where people were where they are today with it. And she was just telling me these things just low key in the house. And I thought they were interesting. And then I would slowly share them when I would go speak at garden clubs. At the time I was landscape manager at Atlanta Airport, and I would get reactions from it. And people were like, oh, I didn't know that, want to learn more. And that's kind of how I got on this road. That's how I got on this road. So yeah, my mama does come before the writing, but yeah. The publisher be on me as they should, so I gotta pick it up. But it's
okay.
It'll be here in 2023. It will,
and
be
it's important. No matter how you look at it, it is important, and it's well worth the wait.
I know, and people say that, but for real, Terry, And here's the thing: I have my own garden story, as you do, but their stories are so good. Like, I wish I could put it into words. You and I aren't even touching on the life of Ethel Early Clark today, or Asa Sims, or William Cooper, or P.J. Chesson, let alone Ann Spencer, who, I mean, there could be a whole college course just on her alone. So imagine that, but it's 200 other people.
Right.
And these are just 200. We have excellent details of their life, let alone the other 2,000 or 20,000 that we don't know. You see what
exactly.
I mean?
Exactly.
So, is it worth the wait? I think so. I mean, I really think so. There will be so much more to come. I mean, we could honestly study and explore this. I feel like that's what you and I are as Sagittarius. We're these grand explorers.
Yes, of we life. Are.
And we're emotional. That's why I'm going to be crying at the Ancestor Garden. No. But because we are grand explorers, you can literally explore Black garden history the rest of your lifetime, this new generation's lifetime, and you will still be scratching the surface. And I mean that with all my heart, for real.
Yeah.
It is that extraordinary.
Yeah.
So that's something to be excited about, to be honest. Mm-hmm. It really is.
That's why it's important for us to sow the seed now, so that when it's time to harvest.
That's right.
You know, we got to do it. We have to do it. Well, thank you for spending some time with me today. And I'm excited for April. I'm excited for every day, actually, but I'm really excited for April.
Me too. I'm so excited for Ethel Day. She's the bomb.com.
Oh,
if I can say that. That's probably lame, but I don't care. She is it.
That's okay.
She is it.
I'm trying to figure out what kind of floral attire I'm going to wear that would make Ethel proud.
Right.
That
you better come correct.
Oh,
now, you know,
I will.
You. Okay.
I already bought my hat.
I bet you did. I need to get it together, because I'm gonna be up. Y'all gonna be up there stepping strong with your fashion, and I'm gonna be the one falling behind. That can't happen. So,
well,
I am sure
back in the day, everyone did not have the money, but I'm gonna represent Ethel, because she laid the groundwork for this, and I'm so appreciative of her.
Oh, truly, truly.
She's
everything. She is.
Well, thank you.
And one day we're gonna be at the Ethel Early Clark movie premiere. We are going to be there, Terry. We're going to write the movie. How about that? So don't y'all be trying to steal it. All right, it's already documented on Terry's podcast. Yes, that will happen. Yes, we will executive produce. Don't y'all be trying to steal our ideas. Thank you very much. Because we know everybody don't read. I get it. It'd be a lot. But y'all can go to that movie. Just there give us go. A few. 2025 coming to the theater near you.
Okay, that works for me.
Well, we claim it in Jesus' name.
Yes. Hey. Thank you so much. This is so much fun. I love it.
I love you, Terry.
I love you more. I really, really do. Stay tuned, everybody. Gee, can you tell that we might just be a little excited about the possibilities of April in Lynchburg? Can you imagine driving down the road and watching the trees come into their spring splendor, knowing that where you end up will be someplace that perhaps a member of the Harlem Renaissance visited and spent time with Ann Spencer? Oh, just that imagination in my mind fills my heart with joy. One of the people of the Harlem Renaissance that Abra and I absolutely adore is Effie Lee Newsom. Now, I love her writing because it's for children, and I love reaching back and helping a child find their way. Well, in the book Gladiola Garden, there's a poem entitled Gladiola Garden. I'd like to read this for Abra. In red and orange, cream and rose, the happy gladiola grows. In slim green boots, in tall green rose, there are so many colors here, so many tints, so much good cheer. Oh, little girl, oh, little boy, in gardens of mixed shades, much joy. One really has to think of you, for you are many colors too. In cheery dresses, suits and shoes, and those gay colored hats you choose, with light and gladness in your faces, you make through earth gay garden places. I just love that. Because if you know a gardener, you know wherever they are, beauty is within reach. I'd like to thank you for following me. I'd also like to encourage you to support the writings that I did last year. I co-authored a book with Kathy Gents of Washington Gardener Magazine entitled The Urban Garden, 101 Ways to Grow Food and Beauty in the City. And I also authored a book entitled Black Flora, Profiles of Inspiring Black Flower Farmers and Florists. There was a team of people that helped me get it all together, and I appreciate each and every one of you, from Quarto Press to Bloom Imprint, just everyone. You helped make 2021 bearable, trust me. As I always say, in the meantime, continue to follow me. My Facebook, Cottage in the Court. Instagram and Twitter, Cottage in Court. And of course, sometimes when I really have something to say, I write on Medium. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you next week.